Live from our new location deep within the heart of Tai Kuching, its dystopian present, we're joined this evening by a special cast of characters. I have Nashua and Long Beach Jess here to talk about Hong Kong's reaction to the end of Game of Thrones Season 5. All right, ladies, let's get into it. Let's start with season finale. Dig or not dig?
Dig. Definite
okay.
Dig. I think, I watched it live. I actually...
And I know this, sorry, sidebar, I know this because I caught you out on the Facebooks. On the internets.
So my first question is, was it the live Hong Kong version that you watched?
Yes,
yeah,
9 a.m.
So it was
so
Monday
you know
morning.
They cut out the full naked scenes of Cersei.
They did.
And did you rewatch it with the full naked scenes?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
So wait, okay.
This is important, people.
This is.
Yeah,
because,
no, it is.
Because I'll take this very seriously.
The recorded version had the full-on nudity, which I thought, and I'm just jumping right in here, was
both
much
feet.
More, just so more serious than the version that they cut out. And
yeah.
Much more... you could feel her pain and the embarrassment.
Do you know what? In both versions, for me, it was really that woman behind her going, shame,
yeah.
Shame. And, you know, I was on Twitter at the same time because it's only really
because
this
you're under
and
30.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yes. but it's one of the only times. So events like this, and, you know, and presidential debates and things that I've been able to catch live. It's really great seeing, from all corners of the world, seeing all these reactions happen.
Right.
And, I as soon as I saw it, I turned it to my husband and went, they're going to call this, like, the first slut walk, and this is slut shaming, and all of that, and kind of taking really modern day ideas and shoehorning it into a very contemporary time. But what I really did enjoy were the amount of comments on the shame woman. You know, that's the first person Cersei's going to go after when she's got her power back. And she'll get it back.
Okay, wait.
Sure.
So let me stop before we sort of launch too
far.
No. That's fine. That's the way it rolls. But I have one question and one observation. The question, being a person who sort of snatches these things from the interwebs and doesn't actually watch it on television, I've never actually seen it on HBO Asia. But both you guys have consistently watched the show on broadcast television and then scooped it up from nefarious sources. And if so, are
I
there basses?
Scooped it from nefarious sources.
Okay. you've never watched it?
I've done both.
Okay.
And I've actually rewatched the first season again, just because I wanted to go back from a perspective of going through all five seasons before I watched season six to watch the first season again.
But so if you know that you know you can get it from nefarious sources and it's full and unedited, as opposed to HBO Asia, which is generally.
It was easy access.
Easy access.
Board and we had it on there, and we have the on-demand version of HBO Asia.
Right.
So,
okay.
And that seems to be uncut or uncut, rather than the ones that they show.
Yeah. On-demand is uncut.
On-demand is the uncut version, full on.
So that's an interesting
parallel. It's very weird.
It's not, and I know this because
when they show it on a time like on the time schedule when you're clicking through HBO, it's cut. And they cut out the bad words and the nudity. But then
so the show's about 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
So the broadcast, I know this because I happen to
have a history with
network broadcast.
Cable television.
And that's, you know, to your earlier question, that's the reason why I am one of the few people under 30 that don't, you know, I try to pay for everything that I consume. And that's just, you know, personal philosophy.
Go on with your moral ass self.
Yeah.
I know. Can this chair get me higher?
Yeah, I know.
I should be looking down.
Yes.
So, the reason for that is the HBO broadcast is on the Southeast Asia stream. So that goes to, places like Hong Kong, but also to Malaysia and Indonesia, where there are some very strict guidelines for broadcast. However, if you are also an HBO subscriber and you want to get that on demand, then that's your prerogative. And it's typically uncut. There is that distinction there.
And presumably same for an Indonesian subscriber of on-demand stuff.
I would guess so, but, you know, I only know it from the Hong Kong perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, so the caveat to that is, if I paid for it in some form, I have no issues going back and rewatching through nefarious sources.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, color
well,
in
it
the
wasn't
edges.
Available, first of all, on the on-demand version for a few days.
Yeah.
And so I had to wait, and I cheated. My husband was out of town, and he's like, can't believe you cheated and watched it without me. But I couldn't help it. I was home sick that day.
Game of Thrones adultery.
I totally committed Game of Thrones adultery. Totally.
Just for the season finale,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't help it. I'm like, can't wait a week.
He was right there.
But then
you're out of town.
We watched it together. I was like, they're showing full on. Full on. I'm like, this is even better. Yeah.
See, so this is just,
the important thing.
This is
life,
just
you know?
Not where I thought things were going. Yeah. But I'm glad it went this way. The second thing, which was the observation, was that I had a very different reaction to the Shane thing because I'm married to a South African, and for any of you that know South African slang, shame is a very important word. It's sort of shame kind of is a slang term which means anything from oh that's too bad to oh geez oh gosh I really didn't want to drop that Fabergé egg on the ground. So lots of times South Africans will just say shame man and then just
it's not as meaningful
right but they say it all the time
it's in vain.
When she was saying shame I kept sort of thinking that she had just like spilt a drink or something. Shame man. So
total opposite reaction for me.
Yeah.
Mm.
You thought it was like that was pretty visceral.
I will have to tell you, I choked up when I watched that scene. It really affected me.
Really?
Yes.
For me, it was more. I actually thought it was worse in the book because in the book, it's you actually have almost this first person account of somebody grabbing at you, pulling your hair, and all of this stuff. So I actually felt like, not that it was a lesser version, because it's so compelling when you actually see it.
They were throwing shit at her the whole way.
They were. But do you know what? I think this show has completely desensitized me. At that point, I just went,
"You are a
monster." Oh, that's a shame.
Shame, man. So you turned South African on them.
Well, it's also,
you know what also
that character development was, there's a part of me that went, she kind of had it coming. But, that's just a vile,
I wanted her to get her just desserts the whole time, and I have to tell you,
you're a big
Cersei
backer.
When I've not been. I've hated her this entire time.
Mm.
Okay.
And when they cut her hair and they made her do this, I felt that she's misunderstood.
Okay.
I just felt like
So then you're saying that you misunderstood her.
I did.
Okay.
Mm.
And when she was confessing, she would not give up her kids. And it's all about her children.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's like a lioness. She's a lion.
Yeah. She's a Lannister.
She is a Lannister. I mean,
yeah.
She really does protect her children, and she was not going to give them up.
Mm-hmm.
And endanger them. She would do anything to protect her children. And she has been used as a pawn since the day she was born to bring houses together.
Right.
And to reap benefits for their own family. And she's tired of it.
Yeah.
And she had to do some really nasty things in her life to get, to get where she is and to stay where she is and to protect her children and to protect her family.
Right. Mm.
And when I saw her and she did this walk and she did it and she did it the whole way.
Yeah.
She didn't give up. Bloody feet, everything, spit, shit, piss.
Yeah.
Pride. Yeah.
Here's the queen.
Yeah.
And she did it for her kids and for her family.
Yeah.
So that's a really great point, I think. And it definitely is augmented in the book as well. But hearing you say it from that perspective, I can understand the effects of what this entire series desensitizing the rest of us has actually done, where, you know, you look at that, I looked at that and went, oh, she's finally getting what she deserved, just in the same way that Joffrey got what he deserved. But as you said, they were really pawns. They were really, in that contemporary time, yeah, you did a little bit of murder, a little bit of incest, you know, yep. It was all kind of,
another day, you know,
hey,
another day, hey, it's just
it's
Wednesday.
It's Fancy Medieval time. Now, okay, there's a little bit of incest, a little bit of murder, but then there's Joffrey,
Joffrey deserved to die, hands down. Right.
I don't have any remorse
against that kid.
You know what, if Joffrey was... if Joffrey was here today, we'd look at him as though he needs some help. You know, it's a mental health issue,
psychological issues.
Yeah,
no, but the other two turned out good. The other two kids turned out okay.
Marcella and Tommen.
Tommen's
a kid.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
but Joffrey was just evil from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean,
but are we looking at him as, what was he, 14, 16?
Or well, okay, so there's book age, and then there's
yeah,
movie age.
Because
the show adds 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. Mm. Due to laws.
Due to laws, yeah, exactly. Because then the whole show would just be creepy as hell.
Yeah,
but it's interesting, looking at Daenerys, looking at Joffrey,
looking at Sansa,
looking at Arya.
Getting busy.
Gosh, Arya, yes. and even looking at Jon Snow. It's effectively, you know, Hogwarts, or, you know, older than Hogwarts stage here, running around and really pulling the levers and influencing the Seven Kingdoms in their own way.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, I've always thought that maybe a year in whatever Westeros land wasn't a year.
A year anywhere else.
I mean, first of all, I mean, and I know...
It's not, it's completely...
But this never gets discussed, okay? So I cannot understand the cosmology in which a world spinning around a sun can have variable length winters.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can get the possibility of a winter being more than sort of 1 year long, mm-hmm. like it goes maybe way around the sun, so it's not... It's clearly not on our Earth, but to not know how long a summer is going to be versus how long a winter is going to be, and have that variance be
are we looking at it as, are we thinking of Westeros as one country? Are we thinking,
well, I'm
of
thinking
it
of
as
the planet.
A continent?
Well, no, because it could be all of Europe, right? There's some places that are just really cold all the time,
and like,
then there's Spain.
But they don't know. They don't. Yeah, then there's Spain where people sort of throw poisoned daggers at everybody, and everyone's carrying a vial of poison. I mean, the Spain Dorne is
don't
Georgia.
You do that, by the way?
Well,
you carry vials of poison around.
You take the continent of where they're the Westeros, right?
Yeah,
and you apply it to what you know, and you say, oh yeah, the north is like Norway and Sweden, and King's Landing is like the UK, and Dorne is like Italy and Spain.
Yeah.
Like, I correlate those two countries.
I think that's largely intentional, but there again, I haven't read all that much into it, but I think George R.R. Martin did kind of, well, he placed some of the whole... War of the Seven Kingdoms thing on the War of the Roses in the UK. So he has some templates for it. All I'm saying though is that in none of these universes, and in no standard understanding of the way planetary motion works, is there huge variance in season in terms of years. I'm just saying that the world, I don't get a world where
it's unknown
when
long,
winter's coming and how long it's going to be.
You just know it's coming.
Okay, right. But there are also dragons in this world.
Yeah.
So,
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with dragons. Variable length winters, I'm not okay with.
Do you know what, as, you know, kind of taking a step back, something that's just delighted me about the series has been the fact that, you know, for many years, whenever anything was adapted into a series or a book, the rest of us that have read, a series or a movie, the rest of us that have read the books have been, you know, Little Miss or Superior. Yeah, I know that happened, or, you know, spoiler alert.com. Mm-hmm. But we're all guessing, and I think that's just fantastic.
Now we are.
Well,
they're
going to
kill people off, and they have killed off in the book.
They already have.
Oh, yeah.
They already have.
Of course.
And,
okay, sorry. listeners, this is a spoilerific
session. This is totally going to be disclaimer, disclaimer.
Right. So who got done kilt in the book that did, or rather, who got done kilt in the show that hasn't been kilt yet?
Haven't been kilt yet. Who was it? Gosh, my mind's just gone blank. It was a second ago.
The books, and he told me Jon Snow doesn't die.
Well, they leave it open-ended. And they have in the series.
This
as well.
Is questionable. I know this is going around on the internet right now. Is Jon Snow still alive? And he's like, in the book, he's not dead.
Right. But in the book, he also does get stabbed a whole bunch of times.
It was actually, you know what I was thinking of? It was it was Brienne, so the whole Brienne.
It does happen.
Yeah.
And Stannis.
Maybe I'm minding.
Stannis is alive. That's
my husband said that Stannis is hanging out.
Stannis is alive, and Brienne is alive in the series, but she isn't in the books.
Your Game of Thrones adultery a little bit more now, because clearly, you know, your relationship at home is based on a very deceitful and...
No, it's a power play. He knows what's happening, but she doesn't.
Right.
So actually, throughout the entire program, every time a scene ended on this finale, did that happen in the book? Am I annoying you yet? Did that happen in the book?
Okay, so Brienne.
But is he forthcoming with... I mean, does he kind of make you hang, or does he say... Yes,
no, totally tells me.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He's good about that.
Right.
That's good.
But yeah, or he goes, shit, I don't remember. I read it
which
so
is
long
often
ago.
The case, yeah.
It is. Oh, that's why I paused just now.
So long and drawn
it's not
out.
Just
he's
that.
Like, I forgot.
It's not just that. It's that the books came out so long ago that I actually can't remember anything. So when he asked me that question, I went, I know this is a thing I know. So the two, Stannis is one, and the other one is Brienne. She dies in the series, and...
She dies in the book.
Okay.
Oops. Ooh, am I in trouble?
No, I don't, I don't have a close connection with Brienne.
But,
so
I mean...
I'm okay with that.
Well,
really?
She has to die, because if she doesn't, you know, for anyone that's read the book, she's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Because of the decision she has to make, she has been a bit of a flip-flopper. She had allegiance one way, allegiance the other way, and what she has to do, or the position she comes to in the book, she's given a choice, and she has to definitively choose kind of which way her allegiance lies.
Her choice in the book is defined by ice zombie Caitlin, correct? Who doesn't exist. Thus far, we don't know. I mean... That's three seasons of that's a long con that the show is running on us if they're going to bring back Caitlin as
I think they will.
I don't know. Well, you were saying earlier that Bruce Jenner might come in as a sixth season sort of.
Do you know what? It's, end of our day in
call me Caitlin
here, and I was like Caitlin.
Now!
Caitlin Jenner? No, Caitlin Queen Caitlin.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so I just find it incredibly fascinating that we're kind of in this point in our lives where we have such a hugely successful series, right? That you could even, in terms of its reach and in terms of the magnitude of emotions it stirs up in its fans, you could liken it to Lord of the Rings. But the difference in the canons is with Lord of the Rings, there's such strong editorial guidelines. And here you've got George R. R. Martin going... Let's spitball this. You know what? Yeah, maybe... Let's just... Fuck it. Let's kill her. Or let's... I'm okay with that character getting raped. I'm okay with this or that happening. Yeah. And I find that fascinating because, to my memory, to my knowledge, there's never been another opportunity on a global stage like this to do something like that.
Yeah.
And keep your book readers and your, you know, series watchers and both of them guessing at the same time.
Well, he did get his start, not his start, but he did spend a long time in television, George R. R. Martin, and I can't help but think that this is kind of him. I mean, he gave up on television because he couldn't get the shows, the ideas he wanted produced, and now
they're at his doorstep.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
He kind of, you know, he kind of did an end run around television, and now is there, and now is probably showing a fairly...
Now we all don't want him to die. Like, he has to finish.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Does he have to finish? At this point, the television show has largely, 99% of it, I mean, go check with your husband on this, but I mean, most of the plot points have been covered off
put in place
and or changed.
Mm. Okay, so no, I don't. To answer your first question is no, I don't think he needs to finish the book, because I have heard that he told the directors who ends up winning the Game of Thrones at the end. So that pathway to get there, the directors and the writers can figure that out. My next question to you two is, do you think the show is affecting his next book?
That's what we were talking about earlier, and that's what, from a process perspective, as a writer, how can it not? Right? And does that worry
and characters
you?
That they've killed off, he can't bring back in the book now, right?
He can't bring back in the book.
It's always the ice zombie option.
Exactly.
That's his get out of jail card. Exactly. Isn't that amazing?
It can't be that easy.
Dead is dead, except if you're a this... Or you come back as Azai Azul,
or if they bring you back to life.
Person's name.
Exactly. We got some Rhiannon.
Well, there's three things.
Reincarnation.
We've got her, right? We've got.
Why is Melisandre there? Why is she at the wall?
Did Melisandre actually give Ser Meron Trent life? And you guys are looking at me like,
No. I think it was another. It was another sort of.
That's what I'm saying. The Red Priest. The Red Priest, right?
See, the Red Priest. Fight in the cave when Arya was there, and then they brought one of the guys back to life.
Wow.
Or he didn't die because he was a.
You got some chops for a non book reader.
Well, I did read that one. Okay. I read book 3, and that was the end of that.
You read book 3?
Oh, that was like the longest one, too.
Were you just like, I'll just pick this up in the middle.
I did book 3 after season 2. I decided to read book 3, and it took me like 2 years, and I said, I'm not doing that shit again.
I know he's not finishing anytime soon.
So the beauty of this kind of multi-platform storytelling and simultaneous storytelling is that people, we try and desensitize ourselves to it and say, oh, it doesn't matter. After they killed off Jon Snow, I just didn't care anymore. But you do.
Oh, I care.
I'm still pissed off about Khal Drogo, right? That's old school.
He's going to be Aquaman. He's fine.
Yeah.
Aquaman?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, really. Okay, move on.
He's not very high up on my hierarchy of.
Okay, super, yeah. You're
superheroes.
Right.
Anyway, let's not cross-pollinate the geekery here.
After all the deaths
you're right.
in season 1.
You're joining us for a very special episode of Dystopian Present, ladies and gentlemen. Fine, so let me ask you guys this, because I'm glad you both are here, because you have a perspective that I do not, because I've, got a Y chromosome.
You have different bits.
Yeah. To put it delicately.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
In radio, no one really
no
knows
one
your,
know.
Your gender. Throughout this year, and I don't know from the... I mean, I haven't actually sort of spoken to a lot of folks in Hong Kong who've been watching, although many have kind of said that they've dropped off or fallen off because of boredom, and the first half of season 5 was pretty slow. But then one reads on the meta webs that lots of folks in the U.S. kind of called it quits after
the Red Wedding.
Actually, this episode. Well, yes, that. But more tellingly, there were a couple of points where people sort of down tools and outrage, notably the Cersei Jaime scene, and then Sansa at her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been this feminist commentary around the anti-feminist messages or the perceived anti-feminist messages of the season, and a concern that they're too glib with sexual violence in the series. So what is your take on that, both in the instances of where it was shown and also just the general kind of from a world building perspective? Does it, if you ask George R. R. Martin, not that I have, but if I did, he would say, hey man, it was whatever, the pseudo Middle Ages, people get raped and abused a lot, and that's kind of been what he said throughout a lot of it. Do you guys feel that that's justifiable? Is that enough? Is that...
Well,
do these things turn you off as viewers?
I'll go first. I think I have probably not the most popular opinion on this. Because I look at it... Ooh, tough crowd. I look at it in two ways. The first way being, yes, the storytelling is contemporary to its time. We mentioned earlier, a lot of these awful things happen, and they happen to everyone. And that kind of goes on to support my second point, where maybe George R.R. Martin is actually the great equalizer, the great feminist of all of us, because look at the way he treated Reek, right? And
yeah,
look at the way...
He lost some bits.
Uh-huh. Look at the way he treated Jon Snow, who took an oath of celibacy.
There's lots of men going off the balls in this book, too.
Yeah, and so many ballless army.
And there
are the vestiges of masculinity. Uh-huh. So then you look at, you know, someone like Arya, who is just kick ass. I want my daughter to be like her without the murdering and the, you know,
and the blindness.
There's a bit of a laundry list there, but I think that everyone, you know, if you had to make a statement, I would say that everyone is treated, they've all got their knocks, they all keep coming back, and that is contemporary to the time that this is set in.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that shocked me as a viewer was seeing all those scenes come to life. I think in the written format, you can kind of justify it. And you can kind of... It's encased in a book. It's safe in there. But I think I was shocked, but I didn't... At the same time, I would have hated for them to have watered it down, because it would not have been the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's just my take on it. I appreciate and I respect the thing, you know, the people that will look at it and go, that show is just fucking full of trigger warnings there. Like, it's horrible. And I get that. I get that perspective. But I think if you're going to look at it and only judge it as a piece of writing and a piece of art, as it should be, then it is exactly what it says on the tin, and it should stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It doesn't bother me. It hasn't turned me off at all.
Yeah.
This is how it is. Look, we're looking at it. This is a story set in supposedly medieval times.
We don't even know which medieval.
Yeah,
right?
Because
of dragons.
Variable length winters.
Exactly. But look at if you look at the simplicity of it, it's, you know, women versus men. Look at the physical aspects of us. Obviously, men can overpower women, and things like this are going to happen.
Unless they have dragons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Daenerys was raped on her wedding night.
That's right.
If you look at that. So she was taken advantage of. She didn't look like she was having too much fun.
No.
In that first season, that first episode.
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of gotten their knocks, like you said. And for me, it's, you know, it's just part of the story. And it's part of what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
Mm.
It is bothersome to watch... to watch the scenes with Sansa, because you love that character so much and you want to protect her.
Yeah.
And she is the epitome of a beautiful young flower.
And she's crushed.
Exactly. Yeah. And all she wanted...
She's just gone through her goth stage.
Seriously, right?
Well, she just wants her lemon cakes and her Prince
That's
Charming.
That's all she wanted. And for her to have that happen to her was heartbreaking. But I think that, again... What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger, and she has to be strong for her family because she's the last man standing, basically.
Well, I think of
she's the oldest. Yeah,
right.
Heirs.
Yeah,
she has to be strong.
Is she older than? I mean, I know Jon Snow is a bastard, but is she older than?
No,
Jon? Okay.
So, but he's a bastard,
right?
Yeah.
So, but she's
bastard.
Yeah, I know.
But he's probably a Targaryen, right?
Oh, so, right.
Or a Baratheon.
Or a Baratheon.
We don't know who he is. So
but
no, it didn't bother
me. I agree with
that.
It didn't bother me at all, and it's not... No way is anything ever going to be so weird and crazy that it's going to turn me off to this show. I'm going to watch it to the very
really?
End.
Okay, well, that's a bold statement. There's nothing.
No. There's nothing.
Interspecies stuff? Dragon on human sex?
I would totally watch that.
Okay.
I'd totally be watching it and intrigued.
Yeah.
Right,
and
intrigued.
We have you on record saying that, which is fantastic. And I agree with that completely. I think that... No, I think
that,
you know... I want
to
know what happens.
On the ride.
At the end of the day, I think that the people that are still watching... come from a perspective of I've committed so much to this that I'm not going to take my eggs out of the basket now. If it ends and I hate it, then
sunk
it was
cost,
still
baby.
One hell of a ride, right?
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. The first thing they teach you in business school is that you don't make future decisions based on previous ones. Sunk costs. Oh. You know, you can give it up. I'm not saying, I mean, you clearly don't want to. Neither of you do. Yeah. But I'm just saying you shouldn't have to judge your subsequent viewing on what you have watched before.
Yeah, sure. And I've loved everything I've watched. So.
Okay, so then...
So it doesn't... Yeah, everything that's happened, even if I didn't agree with it or if I was pissed off, it happened.
Well, yeah,
right. This is the way it's supposed to go.
And it challenges you in that respect as well, because I think there is this... I've never been of that ilk of going, you know, what's going to tip me over? What's going to be the tipping point where I don't want to watch this anymore? Because I've always appreciated within its the different storylines and the way both in the book and in the series he's been able to weave them, or they've been able to weave them so seamlessly. And you're so committed to all of these characters.
Yeah.
And some part of it, as you said, you know, School of Hard Knocks, you see these characters develop quicker and you appreciate them more for it because of all the crap that's essentially happened to them.
Yeah. Except that friggin' crippled kid.
I kind of know what happens with
he's
that.
A bit of a princeling, isn't he?
He's
a Hufflepuff.
It's too bad he's crippled like in the first book. So.
It is. I never like the precocious. I mean, that's why I can never, ever, and have never read any of the Harry Potter thing. Like the precocious kid thing is just
I've only
not
made
my
like
thing.
Three Harry Potter references here.
Right?
Right.
No. What is it? So, all right. So I'm glad. Well, I mean, I perhaps am a little bit more conflicted about this than you guys are, but you guys are a little more ahead, so we'll just run with that. Is there anything about this season that did sit wrong with just this season? Just this season that set less well with you? Were you unsatisfied with any outcome such as it is?
Probably just the progress of Daenerys.
Lack thereof.
Yeah, it just stalled, and I really want to see her... Man, I want to see her take over.
Yeah,
and I
agree. I
feel like her story is just kind of, like, meandering along.
Oh, and then there's a dragon.
Yeah, and it's cool. She finally got to ride the damn dragon. Okay, that was the best scene in the whole book, and it was, like,
Seconds. With my whole sort of, you know, variable length winter thing, my whole, what is she sitting on... Because last I looked, the dragon had big spines running in a ridge down
the
back.
Right.
So
doesn't that like?
Where is she sitting?
I have no idea.
Well, the dragon grew, so presumably the space between the spines also like the spikes.
So then there should be like a spine over one of her shoulders. She should like. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. Winter's coming. Got it.
Her story was so amazing in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was so into her and her moving forward and getting the throne. And now she's just kind of meandering in the desert. And now she's in a place that looks like Ireland. I'm like, okay, where did the dragon take her? To his little feeding ground.
Right.
You know.
The grass.
But it couldn't be far because they're still...
in that area.
In the... What they call the riders. The
Carl the Dothraki? Drunk.
Yes.
Yeah, the Dothraki. Yeah. Are those Dothraki, by the way?
Well, they had to be. I mean, who the hell else is...
No shirts, curved swords,
horses.
It was just not desert, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
did you ever read Gnomes as a child?
No.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about? That big sort of coffee table book, which was like the history of Gnomes?
No, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Like Garden Gnomes?
Yeah. Yes. Anyways.
Oh, they are actually Garden Gnomes.
Right. No, there was a book. There was a book in the late 70s, early 80s, which was sort of the history of gnomes, and it was
how dreadful.
And
yeah.
No, but the the reference I was making, and
I would love to see how he ties this back.
Yeah.
Go on.
You know, I'm gonna roll my sleeves up and get into it, and it won't take me too long. The whole point I was making was. And most of my dear listeners will know this book intimately. It was a large coffee table book about about the red-hatted gnomes, but then there was this whole sort of subchapter of the alternate variety of gnomes, and there was desert gnomes and forest gnomes, and so my whole point is that maybe the Dothrak, maybe these are the, like, sort of the, you know, Brogish Irish Dothraki. Maybe there is a branch off the dirt.
A desert Dothraki, and then there's a more grassland Dothraki.
Yep.
I am so not feeling what you guys are saying.
I get it.
I think that they're presented as an indigenous people that have got a lot of mystical.
They're like the Native Americans. I didn't want to say that, but you've got the northerners that can stand the winters, and then you got the ones in Florida. And they all can be equally saved by white dragon ladies. And sparkly objects.
All I can imagine now is all of them with little gnome hats on.
On their horses,
with their curved, you know.
But as far as any of the violence or any of the killings or whatever, like you were saying earlier, I'm kind of numb to that now, where I'm like, oh, okay, that person's killed off, even though I love
you. You two are dead inside, aren't you?
Well, can I admit to something? And I think this is
that
like
was the only thing that did well with me was, come on, Daenerys, move along.
Okay.
I agree. I think the other thing for me is I would really hate, maybe I just love Kit Harington too much,
yes,
but I just,
too.
Who doesn't?
Oh, I would be his Aegris any day.
He's a little whingy. He's a little mopey.
Okay.
You know, we're not asking you.
Yeah. No, you're not.
You asked us.
I did. All right.
Much better than
I asked you what you didn't like about things, and you're just...
Well, yes, I am illustrating a point here.
We're getting to a whole other level. We're getting dirty.
Which is, I think that, or I think my first impression after the book was, oh my god. So, like, Daenerys and Jon Snow are totally going to get together.
Yeah,
right?
And you can't help but have that. Because you're into incest?
There's nothing verified.
Isn't one of the conspiracy theories that he's Targaryen? Right. So
they could be distant cousins, which was totally kosher back then.
Seriously, this doesn't ring any bells to you.
We know what that is. That's the book I'm talking about.
Okay. But I don't know about the book. I just know about the things.
Yeah. Well, we know what they look like.
Travelocity commercials. Yes.
It's like you with a hat on.
Oh man, burn! All right, back to your Jon Snow's dreamy theorem.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a largely romanticized notion of the two of them getting together, and I think the books and the series have become so much more than that. But there's a small part of me, okay, there's a very big part of me that would love for it to be tied up with a neat bow. And with the way it's going, I'm starting to lose my faith that it's going to be tied up in a nice little bow. And that's what I've always enjoyed.
Do you need it to?
You know what? It's what I've always enjoyed about the genre, what I've loved about fantasy or, you know, fiction or even, like, young adult fiction. I've always loved the fact that you've got a beginning, a middle, an end, a very defined exposition, a very defined ending, and I think that's something that I like from literature that I don't get from the rest of it, like, from being a grown-ass adult, which is really, really hard.
It is hard being a grown-ass adult. I've had many years
I never signed anything. I don't know how this happened.
Why did I want to be one?
Right.
Like, at such an early age.
I don't know what I was getting myself into. And here we are.
Yeah.
So, rounding the bend, on that note, as grown-ass adults, each one of you, what are your predictions for Season 6? Wild-ass, grown-ass theorems. I'm not going to hold you to it, but just spec out, you know, you can be fan fiction-y about it, you know, tell me what you'd like to happen, or tell me what you think would happen, either or. So, you've been unhappy with Dany's progress.
Yeah, I want her to ride in on her fucking dragon and just blow the place up.
But blow which
place? Stir it up!
There's so many places now. She's like, she's trying to free the people in Easteros and...
Yeah, they don't want that.
Easteros?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Is it really?
Yes.
How have I missed this?
No, it's not Easteros, is it?
It's not. He's going to Google it.
I'm going to Google it.
The only thing you're going to get is Urban Dictionary.
Right.
Why do you have a webcam? Like,
and more gnome pictures.
But look at that. That's like an old school
webcam. I really don't want Jon Snow to die. I love his character. I think.
Well, I think that the Red Priestess is going to see.
I really hope so.
Well, I don't want him to come back as Ghost, meaning that he's a wolf. Or him.
Yeah.
Or I don't want him to come back as. I can't even pronounce it.
Ghost.
I don't want him to come back as the Azul Azai. I can't even pronounce it. The Red Priestess's fire god. Mm. The warrior that comes out of it. I want him to come back as Kit.
Yeah. Can we bring back Ygritte too, please?
I loved her.
That love story was the book version was much better than the show. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Was that encapsulated in the third book? Okay, good.
I do not appreciate that they didn't show that in the show.
I'm being fuzzy. What specifically didn't they show?
They had sex in a cave.
The two of them had together was just
what's
kind of
your definition
over.
Of cave sex?
Oh, that is a whole other
podcast. Join us next week for a very, very special edition of Dystopian Present. Right,
I don't know
what if she does come back as a nice zombie? You'll not be happy about that.
No.
Boring.
Okay, fine. Boring. She's not... Okay, but under what circumstances she can't come
back? I'm kidding. I don't want Jon Snow to die.
All right.
And Daenerys needs to pick up the pace.
Right,
and
I want
Arya to actually get that definition, that focus, and do whatever she's meant to be doing. Because I know she's got this whole vigilante thing.
Now that she's
fucking
blind.
Yeah.
Well, she's got this whole vigilante thing going anyway, and I just want her to lose
that
and kind of work out what she's supposed to do. And Bran and Rickon.
Has she killed everybody on her list yet?
No, she's got one guy.
Shit, who?
Or two.
Who's left?
Like eight of them.
Oh my god.
Well, Cersei, I think. Isn't Cersei on?
No, Joffrey was. Yes. Was Cersei? I think she was.
Yes, because she killed
I can't
Rhaegar's
remember. It's been so long since I read
like
the books.
Yep.
I have people turning away at disgust at the moment. What kind of a fan am I? I'm the kind that's all in right now.
But I am looking forward to see what Cersei does. I really
so
am.
So you newfound confidence, respect.
Do
you think she's going to come back and kick all the ass?
She's going to fuck this place up, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really do.
Nice.
Her daughter, dead or not dead?
Not dead.
Oh,
dead.
Not dead. Split, not dead.
Marcella, not dead.
Bronn has a magic sort of semi-valve. He's immune, so he can sort of pour some blood in her or something like that. Now I'm confusing it with True Blood.
Excuse me?
Okay, in what circumstance is she not dead? All I can think of is Bronn, who had the poison, got the anecdote,
and
is...
turn around and get that bitch to give her the syrup.
Yeah.
They're not that far away!
I know, they can still see the boat.
It's still the age of the sailing vessel, my darling.
I think it's either Bronn or something that they pull out of their asses, because...
Okay. So not
dead. She's not necessary, but I don't see.
A bridge too far.
I don't know, maybe
now that Cersei's down to one, maybe that's the fuel that she needs to really let
kick some ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorne is dead, man.
Right.
Oh,
Jaime?
Yep.
Jaime burns Dorne to the ground?
I think Jaime's going to get better with the left-handed stuff.
Yeah.
And
now you're being incremental with him. Like you've been sort of...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody hates
you
Lannisters.
You know what? Jaime in
Except
the book
Tyrion.
Really... No, and
Jaime. Awesome.
And Jaime. Because in the book, he really develops, and he really kind of...
Love Jaime.
He does, right? He kind of really make amends for the excuse of a family that he had. So here's my double standard. I would poo-poo Cersei for murder and all of that, but I was all right on when Tyrion killed his dad. Because I thought... That cut deep.
Yeah,
you know,
that
was not right.
Yeah. You know, the dad was the evil bastard out of everybody.
Yeah.
And now that he's dead, come on, let's just let the kids be the kids.
And you know what? In that time period, you can actually blame your parents the rest of your life. Because it's not like, you know, I mean, we all say today, you can only blame your parents for, until a certain point.
But you can blame.
But back then, that was it, right?
Yeah.
So... And so I say back then as though it's in our own timeline.
Head on the loo, not the head. But
yeah. I predict that Jaime and Tyrion will both be alive at the end of the series, and we'll have a whole brothery thing. The rest of them, it's game. Anyone's game.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying Jaime and Tyrion are the last ones standing?
No, not the last ones standing, but I believe that
they'll make amends.
They've already made amends. Jaime helped him escape, right?
Jaime always had
perspective.
Didn't know he was going to kill the dad.
Yeah.
Jaime always had perspective, though, right? He always had perspective. He was the one person that could read a situation.
Yeah, he has both eyes. He doesn't have both hands.
Well, yeah. It's amazing how many two-eyed people can't see squat, both in the book and outside of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would really like to see them survive. The one thing I guess I'm comforted by is the fact that if Tyrion dies, it would be in the most spectacular fashion ever, and it would be resonant, and it would mean something. And Peter Dinklage is just such an incredible actor. I mean, I hope
he's brought this terrible character, I mean, not a terrible-looking character to life, and lovable.
In the book,
he loses his whole freaking nose. He is not grotesque.
Yeah.
He's kind of close to Kit Harington on my list.
Really? Oh.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So you guys, I'm...
Is this usable material?
It's a little too late. It is being used as material. No. I'm not going to, selectively edit this stuff, man. Oh, no, maybe I will. Yeah, maybe I'll spend hours poring over the mixing deck. I like Brienne, but both you guys don't seem to... What's your problem? What is your fucking problem?
No, I don't dislike her.
Okay.
But do I look at her... Because her brawn and her appearance is very apparent that she's a strong person. I like seeing people like Sansa and Arya and Daenerys who look kind of weak and meek and beautiful. Maybe not somebody that you would expect to have that much strength, really show their strength in other ways. So
I'm just too crude and unsubtle with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate her, but is she a character that I would be upset if she died? No.
No.
She has, from the beginning, kind of positioned herself as somebody that is a plot device. She is either going to make someone else look better or add resonance to a certain storyline, because she was essentially cursed, right? She was in love with a man she could never get. He was gay.
Yep.
And she, she kept pledging allegiance to all these people. Yep. She kept trying to do the right thing.
She wanted to be loved.
Well, no, she just kept she wanted to be loved because... Well, she wanted to do the right thing because she felt that that's the way that she would be appreciated and loved.
Yeah.
And the way it ends in the book is a lot more... It gives her a lot more credit than the way it's going in the movie at the moment. Because it's kind of slow going. I can understand what you're saying. Like, you look at her and you go, what the hell is your point? Right? And you missed the freaking candle. You had one job, Brienne.
Yeah, of course.
One job.
I was like, oh, God, here comes the cliche. Like, she missed
but Sansa's jumped off of off the same height that just killed her nemesis.
Yeah, but into the snow.
Supposedly into the snow.
Yeah,
the
is it a soft
lovely
snow?
Lovely snow. Okay.
But it's she is 10 times taller than that drop that the other girl fell on.
Right. Fine. So
she'll somehow survive.
A Sansa Brienne hookup? Not in that sense, but maybe in that sense. In either sense.
No, it's not
happened.
All
I have to say is thank God Reek turned around.
You know what? I was waiting for something to happen
with
him.
Come on.
Right? And especially when you read it in the book, it's just so subservient and so kind of
when it
meek
happened,
and
big smile,
yeah,
okay.
Big smile, and like, okay, yes, good,
right?
Come on.
So you see,
them having their own adventure,
okay,
now.
Without Brienne,
probably without her because she's off with Stannis killing him or not killing him. I don't know.
He's dead for sure.
Is he?
Because HBO...
I could care less about Stannis, actually.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick, isn't he?
Yeah, burnt your daughter.
I never liked him. No, honestly, I never liked
him. I'm sure if one looked up the definition of a dick, that burning your daughter at the stake would be right
there.
Yeah,
but even before that, even that really touching scene a couple of episodes before where he talks about...
not burning his daughter at stake.
How he tried to save her.
Right.
How he tried to save her and how she's got, you know, that
yep.
What's that? The grayscale?
The rock.
The rock.
Yeah.
The grayscale, yeah.
And that didn't actually really move me, because I just looked at that and I thought, exposition, bitches, something bad's going to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it did,
They had me blindsided.
I thought that he was, you know, look, he was shit out of luck. Right?
Yeah.
He had to do the one thing that this kind of psychotic...
witch doctor told him to do.
...crazy woman wanted her to do.
What is that?
Wanted him to do, rather.
Yeah.
What is that old 60s song? I went to the witch trial.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I do know that song.
I do.
Again.
Yeah. Again. I'm sorry, I am what a youth. Yeah. I'm a callow youth and do not know of your 60s ways.
Love potion number 9.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Well, if it makes you feel better, I was telling you this earlier, but I was telling my kids, I'm not going to be home for dinner because I'm doing this podcast. And they went, what's that, Mommy? And I tried to relate it back to something they'd understand.
Yeah.
And I realized
they don't listen to podcasts.
Well, no, they don't know what the radio is. So I went, do you know what a radio is? And my son went, oh, yeah, that old fashioned thing that people used to call each other with.
That's a telephone.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a lot better off then.
No.
The present generation.
Reminds me of the time when we passed by probably what is the last payphone in Hong Kong, and I said, oh, look, it's a payphone. My son said, oh, that's what that Maroon 5 song is about. Right.
That's cute.
So we're wrapping up here. Last big prediction. Mm-hmm. You want Daenerys to kick ass, but is she going to next season? Do you feel... If you're a betting lady...
I'm a betting lady, but you said I cannot take what's happened in the past.
No, I'm just saying, do you have an MBA?
No.
Okay, then. You can do whatever the fuck
you want. I have an MBA in life experience, okay?
Fine.
I have a feeling... How many more seasons do we have of this?
Fuck knows. I mean, what do you think?
Who knows?
Seven seems to be sort of the magic number.
Is it going
to
be the last season next season, or what?
I really hope not. It would be too rushed.
We have 2-3 seasons left, I'm assuming.
I think 2 seasons.
Jack shit's not going to happen for our next season. Then.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, really?
It's going to be another
And that's not going to piss you off?
Do you know what's going to happen? It's going to be...
Because
they're going to have the Dothraki. You know, you saw that whole kind of like... spinny circle of horses and
right.
What's going to happen is they're going to twist it into kind of like a journey of yourself, kind of seeing images in the fire, kind of, you know, character development, learning about who you are segment, and nothing's actually going to happen.
Or maybe she's just going to grow her damn army. So she's going to have Dothraki along with the Unsullied.
I don't know.
And dragons and
everybody who meets
all Westeros.
Dragon, not dragons, right?
Because the two other are in the hole.
No, the other thing about it is who's going to ride the other two dragons, right? So people say, one's going to be Tyrion or one's going to be Jon Snow. You know what? What I love about the show is it keeps us guessing. And it could all be for nothing.
Just
it could
you piss to us off. Guess.
Well, okay.
Who's getting on the other dragons?
I think they're going to bring Bronn back because we didn't hear from him at all this season. Because
he's all broken.
Well, I think it's because his voice probably changed, and the producers were like, "Oh shit, he's like a man now. He's going through puberty, so we have to take him out of the scene and let him grow." And so the next time we see him, he's going to be like 13 or 14. So he's going to be going through puberty.
Right.
So I think the writers have to take that into account, and we're assuming that he's growing with this tree now or whatever. And he's
growing with this tree. As one does.
Yeah. I don't know, but we're going to see
Hopefully the tree doesn't violently sexually assault him.
Something, right? I don't know what's happening there. But
you know, in the show, it's a free game.
I know, yeah. You're excited about all the dragon sex that's coming.
Arya grow. And I am excited. I do love Arya. I think she's a magnificent character.
Do you love blind Arya?
I think this is a stage in her life that she's going to have to go
It's going to be a wax-on, wax-off thing, right? You take away one of your senses.
She's in training.
How are you going to...
Sorry, you just mixed up Karate Kid and Daredevil.
Yeah, I did.
I'm just gifted like that. I agree. For Daenerys, it's about kind of introspection. For Arya, it's about focus and finding her chi.
Right.
And really for the rest of it, oh, God knows. Like, it could be anything. I really hope Kit Harington comes back. He's currently on set, so that's kind of a tiny niggle of hope / just misleading information.
Don't be bringing the interwebs gossip into this.
I saw a picture.
Okay.
But all I have to say is now that the White Walkers have this enormous army, what the fuck are they going to do?
Right.
You know where they're gonna go is, oh shit, Jon was right.
Yeah, let's all go to Easteros. Because the White Walkers can't fucking swim.
Exactly.
That's what I love about it. I'd be like, hey, motherfuckers, I'm in the water. You can't get me.
Well, you're a beach girl.
I'd be living
aren't
on a boat the entire
you
time.
You are a beach girl. Here's my question to the two of you.
Okay. Last one.
Last one. Okay. If, is this essentially a story of good versus evil?
No.
I'd have to agree with that, but you go first.
No, it's a game. That's real. It's in the title. It's
Is the throne evil? Is the throne good?
It is.
Well, they've always said the throne, Iron Throne, is not comfortable.
Who makes the better move, and how many moves ahead can you think?
Okay, well, the reason I ask that is because there are these themes of, you know, the righteous and the good and... You know, even the whole idea of the Unsullied, the discipline there, or on the wall, the celibacy, you know, the discipline, essentially. Yeah. And there are all these themes that do run through of doing the right thing. You know, everyone has these choices. Does Arya kill this guy because it's what she wants, or she should kill them? The whole idea that you take a life, you give a life. So, for me, there are all these recurring themes of the show kind of equalizing. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder, with this whole idea of this army coming, this winter is coming, the cold walkers, are we going to find ourselves in a position where there's a clear enemy? Because at this point, it's been Shades of Grey, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it probably will be a clear enemy, but your original question was, is it good or evil? Versus evil. I mean, we don't know anything about these White Walkers except they're, you know,
they're dead
and pretty creepy and
they eat
cold,
babies.
And they eat babies and they become babies and baby zombies.
Which is weird.
Yeah, they're just weird ass cold zombies.
Yeah.
Are they inherently evil? Is that so wrong?
Okay, but let's be real. At the end of the series, we're not going to find ourselves at a point where at the end of the series, everyone's dead, hopefully not, and it's just the White Walkers having a party, and everyone comes back, and they're all a White Walker, and hey, everybody, this is what heaven looks like. You know, that's hopefully
like
not
Lost.
Going to be the end.
Maybe they do a Lost crossover thing.
Well, who knows?
All right. To answer the question, I think behind your question, I do not think it's a morality tale. I do think he is trying to say the one critical difference, in my opinion, between George R. R. Martin's fantasy and most other fantasy fiction is that he isn't trying to tell an absolute morality tale. I've been reading a lot of Gene Wolfe lately, who is all about the choices one makes and the moral implications. Not necessarily religious, but just sort of, you know, he assigns weight to moral choice. In Game of Thrones, it seems to me that there's a lot of choices are informed by moral choice, but that doesn't necessarily get realized. So in other words,
and it doesn't get them anywhere either.
Exactly. So I think it's very nihilistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
sometimes evil moves them ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes that's the whole point of the series, right?
But
well,
it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. It's strategy. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, what would satisfy you at the end of it all?
You know what? I don't know what's going to satisfy me.
Isn't that the great thing about this?
Until it's presented.
Calm yourself.
Except more white women riding more dragons.
Exactly.
More of that, please. And dwarves.
No, I just...
Riding dragons.
I love the thrill...
Sexy dwarves riding dragons.
I love the thrill of being on this ride.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do. And that's what I'm on it. I want to
And that's why it doesn't matter how it ends.
And I love it. I don't have to think about it.
It's all about the ride.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how it ends.
Right. So...
I'm in it till the end.
Until the Game of Thrones adventure ride opens up in Orlando... This is Ross signing off with Long Beach, Jess, and Nashua for Dystopian Present here in Hong Kong. Thanks for listening.